numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. And yes, for those watching, we will have Kicking It with Chrissy a little later on. Chris Andrews will join us to announce the name of another inductee into Spanky's Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame a little later on. One more name to be announced in these parts. Chrissy has already announced the likes of Bob Martin, Jackie Gaughan. Who else we miss in there? A couple others.
What was his uncle's name? All of a sudden now.
Oh, Jack Franzi, of course. Thank you. Wyatt Tomchek, by the way, everybody. And Kelly Bidlin, the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. So we'll get to that as well. There's too many inductees at this point. It'll be 10 total, I believe. It's not a black tie event, but black ties encouraged at the actual Sports Gambling Hall of Fame induction come August at Bet Bash. So, Chrissy, one more name to come later on the show. So he'll join us. It's also the Nerd Out Geek Out Day, where Mark Borchard and I do a little Q2 MLB derivatives. So what we're going to get to, and I'm actually going to get a head start on it here this segment, but what we're going to get to is the halfway point of the season. And yes, a couple teams, Tampa Bay being one of them, Tampa Bay, the first team to get to the 81-game mark in the Major League Baseball season. So we use this opportunity to do a Q2 derivative special. What does that mean? That means it's a look at the first half of the season from a betting perspective, money lines, home road splits on money lines, run lines for Major League Baseball teams, which pitchers have been the biggest money winners and losers for their teams if you back them. And then it gets a little more proprietary. We talk about the best five-inning records, really a shout-out to Odd Shark for compiling those this year. Best five-inning betting records in Major League Baseball, both good and the worst of those five-inning records as well. And then super proprietary, we'll talk first-inning pitching performance and umpires as well. Umpires, the biggest over and under umpires thus far in Major League Baseball. And really the entire exercise is designed not to say, oh, necessarily this is what has happened, because that's always fun to look back on, but what of that is predictive and what of it is narrative? Obviously, if it's not going to continue, that's not much benefit to us at all. But if it is predictive, that could inform some of our bets moving forward. And it's also, of course, I buried the headline, it's football week here. The betting guide, the VSiN betting guide, coming out in 48 hours. Wyatt, you excited? 48 hours.
Super excited.
It is outstanding.
You know, I appreciate everyone's hard work that goes into it. Because for you, Gil, as a handicapper, how difficult is it to try to figure out what a team's going to do a couple months in advance before we even get training camp, you know, injuries, everything, late signings and all that kind of stuff?
It's time consuming, right? Like, even I do the NFC East. I'm going to do the NFC East on the show here coming up in a minute, my thoughts on the NFC East. Even to do one division at a time, right, is time consuming. So we've tackled all 32 teams as best we can here in late June, and really great insights from everybody here on the VSiN staff. So I'll do the NFC East today. Zach Cohen will join us. Zachary Cohen, who contributed to the betting guide. We'll get some NFC West thoughts from him as well as we try to go through every division in the National Football League this week, not only on this show, but on every show on the network. So look forward to the football talk as well. By the way, congratulations to everybody who was on LSU. The LSU Tigers win the College World Series, the Men's College World Series title. They stomp Florida 18-4, sort of return the favor after Florida beat them 24-4 in Game 2 of the Best of 3 Finals. It's the seventh Men's College World Series title for LSU, their first since 2009. Second, by the way, to USC's 12 championships. I would not have had that. If somebody had asked me, I would not have picked USC as the most historical winningest, as they say in sports, winningest.
I was surprised when I was doing the notes yesterday. I'm like, really, USC? I would have thought, you know, like the California school, like the Riverside schools and UC schools. So
I would have guessed Texas, which is who LSU just broke the tie with.
Or another one, Vanderbilt. That would have been another one I would have thought as well up there.
That's an interesting choice. Well, congratulations. We ended up having them at plus 230 just before the last game against Wake in the in the round right before, not the round, but it's hard to explain, the earlier in the bracket that is the College World Series, right before the best of three, if you will. So that salvage, we had a bunch of futures that lost this year as opposed to hitting Ole Miss at 100-1 last year. So that helped greatly recovering some of that. Also, we had the Underfest going as well. So it ends up being just a great sort of fun betting vehicle in the end. And we'll do this each and every year. This has become sort of a staple on the show. Can't hit 100-1 every year, but this ended up being good. And really, in retrospect, you know, after hitting the LSU, and by the way, congratulations to everybody, had them way longer odds than we did. You can get them at 8-1, I think, right before the College World Series bracket, so after the regionals or the super regionals. Congratulations to everybody who had them. In retrospect, they might have been the team all along. Like, really, in retrospect, you're sort of like, now, why didn't I take them at the beginning? They were one of those where it's like they were number one in the nation for the first part of the year, and then Wake took over. But LSU always had the best two players in baseball in Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz, the Golden Spikes Award winner, who are going to be in whatever order the first and second pick in the MLB draft. So they're about to be very wealthy young men. So, again, congratulations to all who had LSU.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was kind of happy that Matt Brown is scheduled for tomorrow and not today. I don't know if he was going to be able to make the show today.
Former LSU pitcher Matt Brown here on the network. Let's give a taste of what's to come with our MLB Q2 derivatives show here today. Not the whole show, obviously NFL front and center as well, that we're going to do with Mark Borch a little bit. But let's go to the Major League Baseball teams through roughly half the season. It's a Q2 report here. Through half the season, have the best money line records in terms of we're not as concerned about the record as we are with the money that they have given better. So all of this is a bizarro exercise. As if you bet this club each and every game of the regular season, laying a number if you're a favorite, risking 100, we'll use a 100 unit, to have the team win if they're a dog. So risking a unit to win more than a unit if they're a dog, laying to win a unit if they are a favorite. And the top three MLB teams, if I had asked you to guess, Wyatt, who would have been your number one based on betting numbers? Probably pretty predictable.
Oh, God, now you got me in. I would have to say the Reds as of lately.
Well, that's a good choice. Reds are third. Reds, for the, again, bizarro better who had bet them, whether favorite or dog, each and every game this year, you'd be up almost 11 units. The D-backs are second, up 13.45 units. This is all courtesy of covers.com, these particular stats. And the Orioles, the Baltimore Orioles, are the number one betting team in baseball this year on the money line, regardless of favorite or underdog. 15 units to the positive, a 48-29 record in your standings. 15 units to the positive if you have bet them every game this season. So Orioles, D-backs, Reds, 1-2-3. No real surprise there. 4-5, if you're wondering, would be the Marlins and the Giants, followed by the Rangers at 6. And really, all six of those teams, Orioles, D-backs, Reds, Marlins, Giants, Rangers, have overperformed the consensus thought on them from before the season started. After that, it is the Tampa Bay Rays, who have been so good, 54-27, that record just overcomes even the juice that you had to lay on some of these games and even the juice that you would have lost in some of those 27 losses. So those are the three best: Baltimore, Arizona, Cincinnati, followed by Miami and San Francisco. And the worst really shouldn't be any surprise. The Kansas City Royals are the worst. They would have cost you 23.46 units on the season. By the way, if you're betting the Royals each and every game as a dog or a favorite, you're probably doing this wrong, but this is just for the purposes of this exercise. KC would have cost you 23.46 units. Oakland right behind them at 23.44, so that's about as dead of a heat as it can get. And then it's the New York Metropolitans, the Fighting Jeff Parlays, with apologies to Jeff, who, when I asked him off air the other day, "What's up with your Mets?" He goes, "Well, Gil, they suck," which was really good deep dive analysis, I thought. The Mets are third worst, actually in a tie, an exact tie to the penny per covers.com with the St. Louis Cardinals. No surprise, the Cardinals were deemed to have been had a much better season up to this point than has been the case, at least the pre-flop deeming of their season. And San Diego's the fifth worst. No surprise. They would have cost you 13.22 units had you bet them each and every game this year. So there really isn't any surprise. Typically when we do this top and bottom, you're like, oh, well, that's an interesting team that got in there. You know, not this year. Really, the overperformers are up at the top, and the underperformers are at the bottom, with KC and Oakland just being so bad. Now think about how bad they must be. The Athletics are 20-60. 20-60 on pace for a 40 or 41 game winning season, which would be just epically low. The Royals are only three games better in the loss column, or in their standings, I should say. Four better in the loss column, but three in the standings at 22-56. They're always dogs. They're always substantial dogs, but they're so bad that they still would have cost you all of that money. So, by the way, home road splits, just to add one layer to this, if you're wondering, all right, how did that break down? Who's the best home team on the money line thus far this season? And the answer to that is actually the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa Bay Rays would be up 10.43 units at home. So they've actually been a losing proposition on the road. But at home, they have been the biggest earner. The biggest hemorrhager at home, by the way, would be the Royals. 16.6 of those 23.5 units would have been lost to you at home. As far as the best road money line team, Arizona, which is 2 overall, is number 1 on the road, up 11.8 units. Baltimore, which is number 1 overall, they're number 2 on the road. They'd be up 10 units specifically on the road. Those are the two best on the road. And the worst on the road would be the Mets, edging both the Athletics and the Chicago White Sox. The Mets would have cost you 12.75 units specifically on the road. How much of that is just, A, that's what happened, it's not likely to move forward? How much of that is actually predictive? I would argue a bunch of that is predictive, including, perhaps most notably, the success of the Orioles, the Diamondbacks, the Reds, and, you know where I'm going with this, the Giants. I think the Giants are the most sustainable of all four of those. But Baltimore, Arizona, and Miami, Cincinnati as well, all those five at top, including the Rangers at 6, I just feel like these are not mirages. We'll get into best run line teams with Mark Borchardt. But football next, the NFC East, as I see it. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. It is Pro Football Week, NFL Week. Our NFL betting guide is coming out in 48 hours, Wyatt. Can we assure that it isn't exactly 48 hours? Will it be available in the morning? Do we know this precisely?
That is above my pay grade.
Wow. All right.
I wish I could tell you.
Look at that.
No, I don't like to tell lies. I like to tell the truth.
So you don't know quite yet, but it is coming out on Thursday. All very excited about it. VSiN.com/subscribe. So we're trying to go through every division. We're trying to go through all kinds of bets, what we would recommend, including awards. Chris Felica will join us later in the week to talk about some props and awards that he has bet. So we'll do it all. But I'd like to focus on the NFC East for our purposes right now. The NFC East, which, in case your memory is a little blurry, by collective record in terms of just bottom up, was the most competitive division in football last year. Competitive in quotes, but let's just say it was the best division in football when you talk about four teams. That because the Commanders, the Commodes, ended up at the bottom at 8-8-1. So in that respect, the NFC East was not what people thought it was going to be. But the Eagles, clearly the cream of the crop. But from a macro perspective, the other thing you really have to know besides how they finished last year is, you know, Cowboys made the divisional round, Eagles got all the way to the Super Bowl. But the big difference this year is that that division has a generally harder schedule. Instead of playing the AFC South, which they got to sort of in a patsy way last year, this year it's the gauntlet that is the AFC East. So it's going to be, you know, that much more difficult just in terms of those teams being on the schedule, Bills, Dolphins, Jets, and Patriots on your schedule. Eagles win total set at 11.5, Cowboys at 9.5, Giants at 7.5, and the Commodes at 6.5 this year, with the Eagles the favorite to win the division at minus 125. Real quick, just in terms of personnel, obviously with the Eagles at the top, Jalen Hurts signed the mega extension, 5 years, $255 million, 14-1 record as a starter last year, finished second in the MVP voting, you may recall, to Patrick Mahomes. And what did Philly do in the draft? They added more Georgia defenders. That's what they did. Just like Washington tried to recreate the Alabama defense a few years back, Philly, in the process of trying to create the national championship, back-to-back national championship, Georgia Bulldogs defense, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith added in the first round. Remember, they did have some losses on defense. Javon Hargrave went to the Niners, and specifically, they lost five defensive starters as a whole, starting safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Marcus Epps, and linebackers T.J. Edwards and Kazir White. So there is some attrition there, and they do have a couple older players. Fletcher Cox is 32, Brandon Graham is 35. So Jalen Carter is going to have to pick up much of that slack. Jordan Davis, second-year defensive tackle. Milton Williams. Certainly, N'Kobe Dean is going to be relied on tremendously. They want the second-year player out of Georgia to really be the glue on that defense. But the Eagles, despite all of that, they're the best team in this division, and there's a reason why they're a minus 125 favorite. I would actually play that. If you don't mind, and it is one of these opportunity cost things where, you know, you're going to have to hold it, they're going to hold your money for 4 months. But if you're inclined to do that, I think they're the cream of the division. I'm not going to sit here and tell you any of the other three teams are going to overcome them because I don't think they will. So that would be a bet for me. I don't have a bet on their season win total. I would lean actually to the over, but I certainly don't want to play over 11.5. But they look to me to be about a 12-win team, not enough to play it. Their tough schedule stretches after the bye. They have a bye in week 10, week 11 through 14. They're at Kansas City, home Buffalo, home San Francisco, at Dallas. But I still think Philadelphia is clearly the cream of the crop in that division. Cowboys, big acquisition, Stephon Gilmore on the defensive side. In the secondary, Brandon Cooks as a wideout. They should make Trayvon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb, respectively, that much better on the Dallas Cowboys. Mike McCarthy's going to call all the plays. They really got to clean up the interceptions, though. Dak Prescott does. Last year, 15 picks, entering his eighth season now as a starter, by the way. Tied for the most in the NFL, 15 picks, despite starting only 12 games. So that's obviously the big Achilles heel for the Dallas Cowboys. No Zeke this year, and a lot of people immediately go, well, he hasn't been their best running back in a few years. Tony Pollard has been. I've said that as well. But Zeke is the guy on short yardage, or has been. He has been the guy on the goal line. We really don't know if Tony Pollard can be that guy consistently in those situations. So I wouldn't be too clear or too careful to, or too quick, I should say, to immediately pass that off as a good thing for the Cowboys. Place kicking will be an issue. Tristan Vizcaino right now is their place kicker. That could change between now and the beginning of the year. They have a really nice favorable scheduling stretch, the Cowboys do, between weeks 12 through 14. All are at home, Washington, Seattle, and Philly. And the Seattle game is Thanksgiving, so that gives them extra rest into that Philly game, which is a nice thing to their schedule. But here's the deal. You look at the Cowboys schedule. I actually think the under 9.5 at DraftKings at plus 140. I don't know that I would necessarily have played this if it was minus 110, but they're giving me extra bang for my buck at under 9.5. That, to me, is a play. If you look at that Cowboys schedule, that would be the lean. Here's how I would optimally play that, quite frankly. I would wait till after week 4, where the Cowboys schedule is a little easier. They're at the Giants, home Jets, at Cardinals, home Patriots. If the Cowboys can somehow navigate that at 3-1, which is a big if, but if they can, then I think you play the adjusted win total under at that point on the Cowboys. That's how I would actually play that more optimally than the pre-flop under 9.5 plus 140. Giants, Daniel Jones, guaranteed $82 million over the next two seasons. Just 15 touchdown passes, though, last season, despite being a top 10 in QBR. They did re-sign Dexter Lawrence on defense as well. They added Darren Waller, some wide receiver depth. But the bottom line with the Giants, 31-point loss to the Eagles in the postseason last year. That left a bad taste in Brian Daboll's mouth. They scored. The Giants did just more than 20 points, only more than 20 points once in seven games against NFC East opponents, including that playoff game. So the thing with the Giants is a lot went their way last year. It's entirely possible for them to be better with a better team with a worse record than last year's 9-7-1. A lot went their way last year, and they've got it tough schedule-wise. Primetime games on the road against the Bills and the Niners, and they still got holes on offensive line. Secondary depth is still a question. Tough schedule stretch, three straight road games, weeks 9 through 11, at the Raiders, at the Cowboys, at the Commanders. And then they play Philly two of the last 3 weeks. Yesterday on the show, I talked about alternate season win totals. And so if there is an alternate season win total shot, it is with, in my humble opinion, the New York Giants. Because if you go through this schedule and you do the whole win-loss thing, I think betting them under in their conventional season win total, their consensus season win total, under 7.5 and minus 120 is my favorite play of everything. So under 7.5 on the Giants at minus 120 is the play for me. But I will get frisky, and I think I don't have this in pocket yet, but I believe I'm going to play an under 5.5 on the Giants at plus 270. And I know Giants fans listening are like, oh, come on, you like Washington. Honestly, looking at all this objectively, they are the team that could take the biggest fall, and their schedule did them no favors whatsoever. So under 7.5 is my favorite bet. So far, Eagles to win the division, minus 125. I do lean Dallas on the under, but I'd wait till after week four to play that. And then with the Giants, bet under 7.5, minus 120, bet under 5.5, plus 270. That schedule is brutality. And then with Washington, there really is no bet. I do lean a little bit over on them, but that's just a lean. I wouldn't play it over 6.5, plus 100. I think they're probably about a 7-win football team. The big news, of course, in Washington, Daniel Snyder out. I know that's not an on-the-field kind of thing, but believe me, for those of us who have lived with this team, it can't be more massive. Josh Harris should take over as the owner this coming month. But they're going with Sam Howell as their quarterback. Sam Howell, who has completed 11 forward passes in his NFL career, just one start at the end of last year against the Cowboys. Washington is super bullish on him. Eric Bieniemy, the new offensive coordinator. It's Ron Rivera's fourth season. If they don't get into it, if they don't get off to a good start here, this could be lights out for Rivera, that's for sure. But it's a team with beyond Howell, and he's the huge question mark. Washington thinks they got a ridiculous steal with him in the previous draft. That remains to be seen. He certainly was a lot of people on this network's Heisman Trophy pick prior to his senior season in college. But they will have, coming back, of course, the incomparable Terry McLaurin. They've got Logan Thomas as their tight end, so they do have some good skill positions on offense. But the key to this team getting to a 7-win or an over bet cashing, even getting to an above 500 record, trying to get to the postseason, is that defense. That defense is still pretty awesome. And in fact, Washington's total, I should say, the offense hasn't finished in the top 10 at either points or yards since 2016, hasn't finished top 10 both since 2012. But on defense, these stats are just the opposite. In fact, Philadelphia ranked third, 63.4 in terms of total QBR allowed last year. Washington's total QBR right underneath that in terms of allowed on defense. Yardage, points allowed, Washington's defense right up there, top 10 in yards and points. So that's a defense, two out of the last 3 years, that has been good. If it's good again, they have a shot. But no bet there on Washington for me. Coming back with baseball.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early. Our NFL betting guide will be released on Thursday, 48 hours from now. It will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. What I was trying to get out there at the end, why, was that the Commanders ranked ahead of the Eagles in points per game allowed and one spot behind them in yards per game last year on defense, and the defense has finished in the top 10 in yards and points in two of the past three seasons. Talking about the Commanders' defense now.
I was gonna ask you. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's right.
If the Commanders, they could go winless, are you just gonna be happy that it's new ownership? It's just a breath of fresh air.
It's all
air.
A win. Is Josh Harris's greatest quality? You ready for this? He's not Daniel Snyder. This is his greatest quality.
He's also a part owner now in NASCAR too. Fun fact for you today.
Well, he is across multiple sports. This guy. So here's the, and by the way, DC kid, right? That's the thing. DC kid. And, the thing about that team though, is it's you, if you can hold your opponent to 17 to 20 points, you could win a bunch of games, but the offense is the big question mark. So you don't know. So it's a lean to the over, but again, my favorite NFC East bets, Giants under, Eagles to win the division, which is no real sexy play, but Giants under, the Giants alternate win total under at 5.5 at plus 270. And then the way I would play the Cowboys if you don't want to take the under 9.5, is wait till the first four games. Like, take a gamble on them actually doing well the first four games and then really pound the under after that, because their schedule does them no favors late. But the Giants have the hardest of the bunch. And so those are my, along with the Eagles to win the division, Giants under 7.5, Giants under 5.5, alternate win total plus 270. That, as we discussed yesterday, alternate season win totals is the holy grail of these. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borcher joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, as well as all things BaseWinner, the BaseWinner podcast. How you doing, Mark?
Doing good, Gil. I'm really enjoying this season. It's probably been the funnest season that I've had, and it might be ever. I can't recall having a season that I've enjoyed more, and I think it's because of the rule changes, and I think it's because there's teams that, you know, you haven't seen for a while that are kind of in it. Like you look at like a Baltimore, that's kind of an exciting thing over there. Of course, your Giants too. So there's the season seems more colorful to me than normal, I guess, would be a good way to describe it.
I love it. The Arias chase of 400, Otani doing his thing. Ellie De La Cruz, who's not even the favorite to win the Rookie of the Year, but when you watch him on a given night, you're like, wow, this is the true Rookie of the Year, right? Like, this guy's just unbelievable. I agree with it. Has it been your best handicapping season to date?
Oh, no, not by a long stretch. I've had much better years from an ROI standpoint, but it's just, I think from an enjoyment standpoint, and a lot of that has to do with the games, and yes, a lot of that has to do kind of where I feel as a handicapper too. I've become decent at Python, and it's really just opened up a lot of avenues to me from an analysis standpoint.
There's the nerd fest beginning. Python, he's become very adept at Python, ladies and gentlemen, which is not for the whole audience, but at least for a portion of the audience.
No, but I think that it brings up an interesting, to an extent, you're talking about artificial intelligence. There's ChatGPT, which really helps you code and develop things really fast. And so if you're doing an umpire rating or a, you know, walk ERA or something, I mean, you can get stuff done so much quicker. And so, you know, I think that that's going to affect the handicapping world, this artificial intelligence. It really is. So
I should
hopefully it doesn't do it for a while, but it will.
I should probably have saved this for the umpire segment. But you know what? One thing that has been terrible in baseball this season, and I just think it's getting worse and worse, because I was on here yesterday. Will Hill was on, and he asked me, he goes, Gil, you going to send me more pictures of how bad the umpiring was in the Giants-Diamondbacks game on Saturday? Because I was literally taking multiple screenshots, and like every ball that was like 2 inches out of the strike zone was called a strike for Merrill Kelly. And then like Sean Manaea getting squeezed on balls that were in the square. And I know the TV square could be a little off, but it was so glaring that even the Diamondbacks announcers were like, sure. Last night, I don't know if you caught this, it was a short slate yesterday. The Mariners were beating the Nationals 8-4. It's the ninth inning. They're probably going to win anyway. But the Nationals did have the bases loaded, right? I think it was Candelario who was up at the plate. And I just want to send you this is a still shot of where strike three was called. The Mariners announcers go, "Yeah, that's strike three looking. We win if you say so." That was their line. How bad is this getting?
Well, I watched. It's funny you bring up a game from Saturday and a game up from last night, and a totally unrelated game, the Angels White Sox. I watched two Trout at bats, and Bill Miller missed three calls, and it was blatant. And Trout was really reserved, and Gubaza and I can't remember the play, but Wayne, the guy who used to play do the play by play for the Mets. They were just like, Trout usually doesn't really say much. That's really, really odd. But I mean, you look at three calls and two at bats, and that changes. So then he gets up later and he's swinging at outside pitches. So it really changes the dynamic of the game once that's established. And so, to your point, whether this should be automated or not, I think that they should come up with a way to do it, because the technology is good enough now and the calls are so egregiously bad that I think something needs to be done. Because as a viewer, you're like, hey, that's a ball, and the guy called it a strike. So.
It's you just mentioned AI and ChatGPT and all kinds of things, and we can, you know, that's a subject for another day. There's obviously huge negatives to all that stuff too, but juxtaposed against umpires missing calls 2-3 inches outside the strike zone, it is a pretty glaring juxtaposition, that's for sure, in this day and age. I got a little bit of a head start on the Q2 thing because I started talking about the top money line and the bottom money line teams in baseball, and I did a little bit of home road splits. And I just wanted to get your reaction, and then we can move on to run lines with you, which is, you know, my thing is you and I have done this. By the way, this is the segment, by the way, that I think I've done. You and me doing derivatives in baseball every quarter goes back the furthest for me, through a numbers game, through Beating the Book podcast, also back in the betting dork days. You and I have done this for more than a decade. And I don't remember one of these top money line teams or bottom money line teams being so sort of obvious, right? The overachievers are the best money line teams. Baltimore, Arizona, Cincinnati, Miami, San Francisco, Texas. Overachievers meaning what the perception of those teams were from before the season. And then at the bottom, KC and Oakland are just so bad that they're going to be at the bottom, right? But then it's the underachievers of the Cardinals, the Mets, the Padres, and the White Sox back to back to back. Do you ever remember it being that clean?
But usually you get like a surprise. You're right. You get like a surprise and you're like, wow, that team shouldn't be there. But you're absolutely correct, Gil.
Do you think it's sustainable for most of those teams, to the good and the bad, sadly, on the bad side?
Well, I think the A's will probably be better against the ROI straight up because they're big dogs. And I don't think they're as brutal as the market does. You know, the Mets have underachieved, the Padres, I think that they'll probably get better. The Cardinals are interesting to me. I mean, they just don't have the pitching and they haven't been able to outslug people. You know, I don't know about Wainwright, but his split, I don't know what they're thinking about Wainwright rather, but his road home splits are, he's awful on the road. They just shouldn't start him on the road. He's a play against. If you get Wainwright on the road, I don't care what the line is, play against him.
All right, let's do run lines. The de facto power rating of these Major League Baseball teams. Again, when you win by more than a run and a half. When you lose, sometimes you keep it within a run and a half if you're on the good side. The number one run line team in all of baseball, Mark, is?
I've got Baltimore, Gil.
Yeah, Covers has Baltimore as well, over 19.35 units won on the run line. They'd be 49-28 on the run line, followed by, who do you got?
Your Texas Rangers is what I have.
So Covers has the Reds at 17.65 to the positive, followed by the Rangers at 14.1.
Okay, I'm using Killer Sports, and they're plus 1,800 on a $100 bet. So,
okay.
But the Reds are close there. They're fourth. The Diamondbacks are second.
Where do you have?
Diamondbacks are third, rather. Sorry.
We do have a surprise team in here, which is the Cubs. Covers has them as the fourth best run line team in all of baseball. You'd be up 12.4 units if you played them. That would be where do you have them, by the way? Where do you have the Cubs on the run line?
They're not 12.4 units. So yeah, they're down. They're down like in fifth there. So,
but still up there. Fifth overall.
Fifth overall.
Yeah. So that's, of all the teams that we've mentioned so far, they're sub 500. It's not like their one run record is that good. That's a little surprising, right? So the Cubs on the run line has been one of these things. That's more narrative, though. You don't think that's necessarily sustainable.
I think there's one thing that's surprising. I've talked about it on the Bet US show a lot. The Cubs bullpen is it's still like, I'm saying it's third in baseball, and I'm just still like, oh my God, they're third in baseball, but they are. If you look at the men who make that up, and you look at strikeout percentage, walk rate, I have the Cubs bullpen third in baseball, Gil.
Oh, so maybe sustainable then is what you're saying. Perhaps.
I think that bullpen's really underrated. And when I'm like shaking my head, doing double checking my numbers, it's like, and I'm really, keen on these numbers. It's surprising to me. So I think that would be surprising to a lot of people.
That's definitely surprising to me for sure. And that's why I was shocked to see them as one of the best run line teams in all of baseball. We'll do the worst run line teams, which won't be quite as surprising. Then we'll get into umpires. And the nice thing about umpires with Mark is he has historical numbers. We're the most reliable over and under umps in all of baseball. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place the same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back and bonus bets up to $25 only at BetMGM, the best place to bet on baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. 21 or older to wager, but 21 and over works as well. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Elvis Toast Patterson fan, congrats, Gilly, LSU, and a laugher. Wish they were all this easy. Yes, absolutely. 18-4 was a nice way to win that. Paul Skeens didn't even have to get in the game. That was the big thing. Is he going to play? Is he not? Didn't even have to play. Chris Hubble. Okay, Gil, I'll be there this week. Hope you'll be in studio. Looking forward to meeting you. I've met Andrew Sports a couple of times already. You guys are my heroes. Wow, thank you so much, Chris. I look forward to meeting you. Stop by. Michael Barboza, greetings again, Gil. I'm curious what your thoughts are about Iga plus 105 at Bad Homburg, the tournament she's playing in this week. I know grass isn't her favorite, but the field looks weak to me. Thanks as always. I would not tell you not to bet that because Iga's Iga, and she's going to win a grass court tournament at some point here. It might be this one. I will say this, the biggest news in terms of Wimbledon coming up is Elena Rybakina, who won Wimbledon last year as the defending Wimbledon champion, who also pulled out, if you might remember, of the French Open and so couldn't compete after, I think it was the third round. Don't hold me to that, but she had a virus. I don't know if she ended up with COVID or what she ended up with, but she tried playing a tournament last week. She got beat. She pulled out of this one. I don't know if she's going to be able to defend her Wimbledon title. So I gave a few names yesterday that I thought represent value, Jabeur, Kvitova, depending on where they end up in a draw. But might be a little addition to Iga, to the Iga bet at this point, because that's a big development. This from LFC Title Records. Matt Brown playing baseball for LSU is a good VEASAN fun fact, but did you know Brendan Gaughan? Yes, played basketball at Georgetown with Allen Iverson. That might top the VEASAN fun fact list. That absolutely does.
I say Brendan Gaughan's kind of like the Bo Jackson of VEASAN. Played basketball. He was a place kicker at Georgetown, too.
Was he really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, place kicker at Georgetown, and then won eight races in his NASCAR Cup career, along with Truck and Xfinity.
Yes, we know that part for sure. Did not know he kicked at Georgetown, but certainly did play for Georgetown at the same time Iverson did. And New York Mets 16, as a New York Giants fan, I don't understand why your commodes are an afterthought. Finished last, but at 500, and this year get a fourth-place schedule. Rivera has done this with no quarterback before, and their points per game is good enough to win several games. Washington offense is better than Denver's offense, for instance, last year. No, they're not an afterthought. Not an afterthought as well. In fact, I said I lean to the over on the 6.5. The issue is, What are you getting out of Sam Howell? And I just don't know enough. I don't have enough conviction on that to make a bet at this point. Might I adjust that as the adjusted season win totals come in as the season progresses? Yes. The defense is outstanding. And this could be Chase Young's last year in D.C. I think they have to make a contractual decision between him and Montez Sweat. And I think they're going Montez's way. But they do get Chase Young back. And this kid that they drafted, Emmanuel Forbes, made huge, huge game-changing plays in college. Obviously, Washington hoping to get that from him as well. So they're going to go as far as that defense. The defense is great, but the offense just has to be somewhat consistent. So not an afterthought, just not my favorite bets in the NFC East. Let's continue with baseball. Mark Borchardt rejoins us here. Hey, Mark, what do you have today, by the way? Full slate of Major League Baseball. Let's get that going.
Yeah, let me go ahead and page to the Right numbers here. You know, I've got a lot, actually. I think my favorite one, people aren't going to really be happy about that. But I like this Lay the Wood parlay, and it's a three-teamer today. Toronto, Atlanta, and the Angels. And it pays 3.3-1 if you win it. But, I mean, I don't really see, like Gausman's been tremendous. You know, the Angels got Otani out there. And then this Braves team is just, I don't, like, from an offensive standpoint, the next best team is far away from them from a runs created standpoint. You know, the Braves used to think, well, they got power, but they're undisciplined at the plate, and they're in the top five and from strikeout percentage in a good way. So they're showing good plate discipline. They got a ton of power. And I think that's a decent parlay. I think that's going to cash, Gil.
Say it again. Braves, Angels with Otani, and what was the third?
Braves, Blue Jays against your Giants, who I like, actually. And Angels, Blue Jays, Giants. Angels, Blue Jays, Braves.
Angels, Blue Jays, Braves. Somewhere, yeah. Steve Fezzik is having a coronary hearing another parlay.
Oh, he likes to get on our show and give me a hard time. But you know what? I don't know. I've had success with these parlays, and I like playing them. I think that makes a big difference as a handicapper if you like a particular market to just really delve into that market. Yeah, have fun while you're doing it. But I think it leads to wins down the line, Gil.
Anything else besides the parlay today?
No, I'm going to go with the A's today. It's really weird. Oh. You know, the Yankees, and this is weird from a market standpoint, because the Yankees are only minus 132. And you just think that that's a kind of a weird number, you know, given that they're the Yankees, given that the A's have been, you know, people have been so down on them. You would think that, well, why are they minus 132? Well, there's a reason. I think that Blackburn's actually the better starting pitcher. You know, I think Will was on the show yesterday talking about this Yankees offense and how lousy it is. And I've got him ranked 22nd in baseball by my numbers. So I would agree with his assertion there. Yankees in trouble with Judge. I mean, he just adds so much, obviously, to that lineup. But I actually have the this game more of a pick 'em. And so I think plus 122 for Oakland is a good price, Gil.
Okay. Take a shot with the A's today, plus 122 dog at home against the Aaron Judge-less Yankees, and we do not know how long Aaron Judge will be out of that Yankees lineup. Back to the Q2 derivatives, because I want to get through these here. This is we didn't say the bottom run line teams. Kansas City's the worst run line team in all of baseball. They would have cost you almost 30 units per coverage.com, followed by the Mets, which would have hemorrhaged you 21.5 units if you, again, bizarro exercise where you bet the Mets on the run line, favorite or dog, each and every game this season. Obviously, nobody's doing that, but we're trying to figure out what of these is predictive. So it's Royals worst, Mets second worst, Phillies the third worst, and then a drop off to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals showing up in almost all the worsts when it comes to money. Any surprises at the bottom there?
You know, I have the Pirates up there in the top five, Gil.
Yeah, they got them sixth. Yeah, sixth worst.
And so that's surprising to me, because you think that they'd, you know, at least get some from a pricing standpoint. That's the surprise to me on the bottom five, rather.
Okay, pitching, biggest money-winning pitcher. So if you bet on this starting pitcher each and every day, back their team, what did your win-loss record and what did your money end up being? Spencer Strider, no surprise. Braves are 14-2. When he starts, you'd be up over 5 units. Really, though, those are the best win-loss. Let me get to the best money, actually. Strider comes in fifth. It's actually Kramer from Baltimore is number one, Boyd from Detroit number two, Henry from Arizona three, Bello from Boston fourth. Strider's obviously sustainable, or any of the others?
No, that's so surprising to me. I think Tommy Henry is not a major league pitcher. I've been betting against him following the Diamondbacks, and I think that that's kind of the Diamondbacks' Achilles' heel. Is they've got Kelly, they've got Gallen, but the last three starters, Davies, Henry, and Nelson, they're just I don't know. I don't see them as average major league pitchers. So I think that they're going to have to get another guy for me to be serious. Not only contenders for the playoffs, but serious in the playoffs, Gil.
So Tommy Henry, not a major league pitcher by your numbers. 9-2 the D-backs are when he starts. So maybe
his name does lend itself to a lot of Tommy Boy jokes, though, on the MLB show.
Well,
so I do hope that he stays there, and especially when he plays the Yankees, if you guys are familiar with that movie.
No surprise, by the way, that Jordan Lyles of the Royals just getting their first win when he started after 15 straight losses in his starts. So they're 1-15. You'd be down 13 units even after the win on Lyles. Schmidt of the Yankees would be the second worst, just if you backed him every single game in terms of the money you would have lost. Zach Greinke of the Royals, right there, third worst. Jordan Montgomery of the Cardinals, didn't see that coming before this year, fourth. And then Jameson Taillon of the Cubs would be in fifth worst. You read into those? I mean, Blake Snell's a top 10 worst also.
Yeah, he's been really good over his last four starts. You should see some of his advanced numbers. They're awesome. So I think that he'll be better. That's a surprise to me based on how he's pitched recently. Clark Schmidt, I do like too. And then Taillon's a better than average pitcher by my ratings. So there are more surprises there. Well, actually, there's surprises up top too. I mean, that Tommy Henry thing is a surprise, Gil.
Yeah, so the takeaway for me on that is, don't be fooled by the Tommy Henrys of the world. Give me another name besides Henry that you would say look to fade, perhaps. If they're
Kramer,
not,
I mean
Kramer, Dean yeah. Kramer.
He was good in Seinfeld, but he's not a good pitcher.
Dean Kramer, to this point, the number one money pitcher in all of baseball. If you had backed him in all 16 of his games that he played this year, Baltimore's 11-5 in those starts. You'd be up over 7.5 units, but that ain't sustainable, per Mark Borchardt. Umpires, first five and first innings next.